From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is focusing upon the life of the man who was called in the Bible the friend of God, Abraham. We've already heard how God called Abraham out of a life of pagan idolatry to leave his homeland and follow the Lord's leading to a land of which he had no knowledge. That call involved a promise that God would give Abraham a seed through whom all the families of the earth would be blessed, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've seen, Abraham temporarily stopped short of the promised land and nearly forfeited the blessing. Yet God in his mercy removed the impediment, Abraham's father, Terah. And so the man who would become the father of the Hebrew race finally entered the land of Canaan. The first thing he did was to build an altar, restoring fellowship with God. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the story of Abraham as he begins a message entitled, The Walk and Worship of a Man of God, taking as his text Genesis chapter 12, verse 5 through 13, verse 4, he draws a number of spiritual lessons from this portion of Abraham's experience. Before the message, please listen to a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Overcomer. The text is Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. No man may turn his back in the day of battle or refuse to go to the holy war. We must fight if we would reign, and we must carry on the warfare till we overcome every enemy, or else this promise is not for us, since it is only for him that overcometh. We are to overcome the false prophets who have come into the world, and all the evils which accompany their teaching. We are to overcome our own faintness of hearts and tendency to decline from our first love. Read the whole of the Spirit's word to the church at Ephesus. If by grace we win the day, as we shall if we truly follow our conquering leader, then we shall be admitted to the very center of the paradise of God, and shall be permitted to pass by the cherub and his flaming sword, and come to that guarded tree, whereof if a man eat, he shall live forever. We shall thus escape that endless death which is the doom of sin, and gain that everlasting life which is the seal of innocence, the outgrowth of the immortal principles of godlike holiness. Come, my heart, pluck up courage. To flee the conflict will be to lose the joys of the new and better Eden. To fight unto victory is to walk with God in paradise.
Thank you.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the prophet Daniel. There are 5 articles written by various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church dealing with such subjects as glorifying God in an ungodly world, Daniel, a man of prayer, and the prophet's visions. Also, this issue commences a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of Dr. Ian Paisley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
After the death of Terah, his father, Abraham resumed his pilgrimage to the land of Canaan. And this time, nothing was going to stop him. Abraham was very much aware that he had already wasted too much time, that he had spent years on the borders of the promised land, when he ought to have been in it, enjoying it. He had spent years there because of a partial commitment to the Lord, a partial obedience to the will of God. And so now he stepped out by faith on the call of God and on the promise of God. And as we read in verse 5, he and his company they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And once Abraham did that, the Lord appeared unto him again, as verse 7 makes abundantly clear. We read, "And the Lord appeared to Abraham." Now there's no mention of the Lord appearing to him all the years that he stayed in Haran. He had appeared to him, and this is made very clear in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. He had appeared to him in Ur of the Chaldees. He had spoken to him very clearly, made known his will, called him out, sent him on his way. Abraham had stopped short on the borders of blessing. And all the years, and it may have been 5 years, it may have been 15 years, some commentators indeed think it may have been as long as 25 years. Certainly it was a protracted period of time. And during all that time, there is not a word of the Lord appearing again to Abraham. You see, disobedience to the Lord and dilatoriness about doing the will of God always cost a believer very, very dearly. And the very first place that it's going to be noticed is in the place of his personal communion with God. The first place you're going to note the results of losing out with God, of stopping short, will always be in this place of your enjoyment of the Lord's presence, your perception of the Lord's grace and glory. As long as a Christian dwells in Haran, there is no open vision. There's a great cost, a great price to be paid. And those years were years for Abraham of paying that price. But as soon as Abraham moved from Haran to obey the call of God, God met with him. Reminds me of the parable of the Lord Jesus concerning the prodigal son. When the father was standing waiting, looking for the return of the prodigal, looking for that movement of repentance, and ready to give him a welcome. As soon as Abraham moved into Canaan, as soon as he obeyed God, remembered the call and the commission that God had given him, God came. It's just as if the Lord was waiting to bless him and to come and meet with him. Now we read that when Abraham came into the promised land, the Canaanites were then in possession. That's deliberately stated, and the placement of the statement is important. The Canaanites were then in the land. It would appear that unlike the Egyptians, they were not at that time so progressed or hadn't progressed so much as to have great cities and great nations. They seem to be a bit like Ireland was before the English took over. And that was a whole series of petty chieftains. But they were numerous enough, and they had possession of the land. But when he appeared to Abraham, the Lord encouraged his heart, and he promised him that he would give this land to him and to his seed after him. And so Abraham began the life of a pilgrim in the land of Canaan. First thing he did is very interesting. The very first thing recorded that he did when he came into the land of Canaan, he built an altar where he called upon the name of the Lord. And then he moved on a little way, and he came near Bethel, having Bethel on one side and Ai on the other. Very interesting that he pitched his tent and built his second altar right there. I don't think you have to be forcing the interpretation too much to realize Bethel is the house of God. Hai, or Ai, is literally the heap. Very good picture of the world. And as long as you have your face to Bethel, you have your back to the world. And as long as you have your face to the world, you have your back to Bethel. It's always true. He built his altar in a very significant place. And then later in the chapter we read that he went down to Mamre, the place called Hebron, later known as Hebron, and there he built his third altar, as chapter 13 and verse 18 makes clear. Abraham built three altars in quick succession. It was a wonderful life at this time. He was God's man. He had God's call. He had God's promise. He was in the right place. And he was living in the shadow of the altar in unbroken fellowship with God. He was at peace with himself. He was at peace with his neighbors. His business was obviously flourishing, and he became rich in cattle and in sheep and in silver and in gold. True, he had no son and heir at that time. But I don't think that Abraham was unduly worried about that, because he had the promise of God that God was going to make of him a great nation. So he had God's word that God would look after the need of a son and an heir. So even the family situation was tranquil at that time. All in all, it was a very rosy picture. And then trouble struck. Isn't that just like life? The Bible's nothing if it's not true to life. Everything was just going well. And you know, you've been in those times when you think things couldn't be better. This is the way they'll go on. And if you're a real fool, you'll take credit for bringing about this situation yourself, when really you had nothing to do with it. Things are so good. My, how can they change? Everything's wonderful. And then suddenly, there's a great crash. That's what happened with Abraham. There was probably a drought and a blight on the land. What we know is there was famine. Now, for a man with huge flocks and herds to feed, and with a great number of families dependent upon him, a famine was disaster. I don't know how long it lasted. I don't know how long Abraham endured the famine. But certainly it must have pained him to see his animals become emaciated and some of them drop down dead of starvation. It must have grieved him to see the flocks and the herds decimated and to see the families under his control in great physical pain and great physical need. And in the midst of that situation, Abraham did what all too many of us do. When trouble hits us, Abraham panicked. I would love to be able to say the Bible said Abraham prayed, but the Bible doesn't say that. Great man that he was in many ways, when this real trouble hit him, I don't read of Abraham in prayer. I read of Abraham in panic. And in panic, he took a fateful decision. And that decision was to go down into Egypt. Now, the terms of the call of God had been very specific. Go to Canaan. This is the land God said I'll give you. I'll show you a land. And as soon as he entered into Canaan, God said, this is the land. Not a word about Egypt. There's not a word here that God led him into Egypt. I don't believe for a second God led him into Egypt. This was a move not in faith, but in utter desperation. Now, to the flesh, it made very good sense. Egypt, Unlike Palestine, which was dependent on the rains, Egypt did not suffer these droughts and these famines because the fertile part of Egypt, as it is to this day, depends greatly on the overflowing of the Nile. The river of Egypt guaranteed that Egypt was going to be a place preserved from many of the hardships of the land to our north. So it made very good sense. Here's a place where there still is plenty of food, and there's wide open space. I'll go. But it was a disastrous move. Totally disastrous. In Egypt, Abraham knew nothing but shame and failure. It's interesting that we read of the altar as soon as he entered into Canaan. The altar as he came near to Bethel. But as he journeyed down toward Egypt, there's not a word about an altar. Not a word about calling on God. Not a word or a sign of that close fellowship with his Lord. And not a glimmer of the light of that faith for which Abraham has justly become famous. No. In contrast, in Egypt, Abraham sank to lies.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.